Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. So a rocket blasts off and it curves sideways. And then 10 seconds later, the internet goes, there, that's the dome. And that's the world we live in now. The other day, I'm watching the Artemis II with my son. And I mean really watching it, in person, standing at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Center. We were lucky enough to find tickets. And we weren't half watching this thing. We weren't watching while scrolling like a brain-damaged raccoon. We're locked in. He's locked in. That thing lights up and the sound hits us like a bomb went off. It starts climbing. The whole sky looks like it's getting punched in the throat. And for a second, I'm not gonna lie, it hit me. Like, damn. We're really still out here strapping people to skyscraper-shaped explosives and aiming them at the sky. I don't care how old I get, that still hits. So naturally, the second it's over, I do what every person on Earth does now. I open the comments. Huge mistake. Instantly, it's, why did it curve? If space is up, why didn't it keep going up? And it hit the firmament, or the Bible already told you, or can't get through the dome. And right next to that, the other team doing their own little performance. Well, science is settled. Only idiots ask this. Just trust NASA. Read a textbook. Cool, great. So the two options are apparently blind faith in government branding or a verse and a screenshot. And that seems real healthy. And look, let me make this real clear before everybody starts trying to draft me onto their team. I am not here to defend NASA, not remotely. I've got major issues with NASA, a lot of them. The moon landing half a century ago, the missing data, the contradictions, the selective amnesia, and that slick little PR sheen they slap on everything like we're all too dumb to notice. But I'm also not going to pretend every weird-looking thing in the sky is automatically proof of a cosmic snow globe. Because here's the part that actually matters. That curve does look weird if nobody ever explained what a rocket is doing. And most people? Well, they haven't. They were taught space like a cereal box drawing. Rocket go up, space is above, astronauts float because gravity took the day off. Satellites just hang there somehow, like that makes any damn sense. But that's not how any of this works. So this episode is not me joining Team NASA, and it's not me doing a hit piece on Flat Earth either. I'm not interested in team jerseys. I'm interested in whether the thing you saw means what people keep saying it means. One launch, one curve, one claim. When that rocket bent sideways, did it hit something? Because if that arc really is proof there's a ceiling over this planet, then we're not arguing about a launch anymore. We're arguing about reality. But if it isn't, then millions of people just watched the same thing, and half of them filled in the blanks with whatever story they already wanted to be true. And honestly, that might be the more dangerous problem. You know what's crazy? Not the arguing. That's just the internet being the internet. A launch could cure cancer, and somebody would still be in the comments typing, fake, with Cheeto dust on their fingers. No, it was the question underneath it. Why did the rocket turn? Because if I'm being honest, if nobody had ever explained this to me, I'd probably be staring at the same clip going, hold on, yeah, why did it turn? Seriously. Because the version most of us got handed when we were kids was basically this. The rocket goes up, space is above us, once you get high enough, congrats, you're in space. And that's about it. And if that's the picture in your head, then the curve looks wrong immediately. Like not, huh, interesting, just wrong. And that right there, that's the whole problem. Not because people are dumb. It's because the first picture they got was bad or incomplete. Actually, no, worse than incomplete. It was simple in exactly the wrong way. Now, here's the part where people get tricked. Because most people think the hard part is just getting to space. Like, once you cross some invisible line up there, that's it. You made it. You're in and you're done. But that's not actually the trick. And this is where the whole thing goes sideways. No pun intended. Actually, a little bit intended. Getting high, stop it, isn't the impressive part. A rocket can go insanely high and still come right back down. That happens all the time. NASA, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic, all kinds of flights have gone high enough to cross what people call the edge of space and still come right back down. That's not orbit, that's a high arc, and there's a big difference. Because crossing some line in the sky, that's not the hard part. That's the part people obsess over because it looks like the goal, but it isn't. The hard part is staying there. That's the part everybody screws up. Because space is not just a place. You don't just drive there and now you're in space forever. Orbit is not a location. Orbit is a condition. And look, if you believe the Earth is flat, well, this part is going to clash with that. Not because I'm trying to pick a fight, but because this is the actual physics of orbit. And this launch follows it exactly. If you launch straight up, all you really did was throw something into the air. A very expensive something, sure, but still. It's coming back down. So the real question was never, how do we get high enough? The real question is, how do we go fast enough sideways that while we're falling, we keep missing the ground? And that's the game. That's orbit. You're falling the whole time. You're just moving sideways so fast, the ground keeps curving away underneath you. And if that's true, then the curve you watched wasn't suspicious. It was the point of the initial launch. Which means the thing half the internet keeps screaming about, like it hit a ceiling, might be the one thing in the whole launch that was doing exactly what it was supposed to do. So now we've got to fix the part that most people were never shown correctly. Because once you hear this the right way, the whole launch changes. And I mean instantly. The easiest way to understand orbit is not with some NASA animation or a classroom poster with a smiling astronaut and a globe. It's a cannon. Seriously. Old school. With a giant mountain, a big stupid cannon. Very normal behavior from 1600 scientists. It was Newton's thought experiment, actually. And this is one of those rare examples where the old dead guy actually cooked. So picture a mountain so tall, it sticks way up above the atmosphere. So yes, a ridiculous mountain, but it doesn't matter. Just go with it. Now put a cannon on top, and instead of firing the cannonball up, you fire it sideways. So what happens? Well, it shoots out, gravity grabs it, and then it falls. Pretty simple. Now fire it harder, and it still falls and just lands farther away. Try even harder. And you get farther, but it still falls. And if you keep doing that long enough, eventually you hit the speed where the cannonball is still falling, but the ground keeps curving away under it. So it never catches up. That's orbit, and that's the whole trick. And once I heard that explained many years ago, I remember thinking, wait, hold on. So nothing up there is actually sitting in orbit? It's not parked or hanging there? And no, it's not. It's actually falling the whole time. It just keeps missing the Earth. That's it. That's the whole thing. And once that gets in your head, really gets in there, the launch starts making way more sense. Because the rocket is not trying to just go up. It goes up first because, well, there's a planet in the way. Atmosphere, drag, thick air, heat and gravity. You know, all the fun little details people in comment sections tend to skip right over while explaining aerospace engineering from a lawn chair. And for the people watching this through a flat earth or firmament lens, I know exactly where the friction is here. This only works if the earth is curved. I'm not sneaking that past you, but I am telling you directly, this is the orbital model, and this launch behaves exactly the way that model says it should. So yeah, first it climbs. But then it starts to lean, And that lean, that turn, that's the part everybody keeps staring at like it just got caught doing something shady. But it didn't. That's the mission starting. That's the rocket beginning to build the sideways speed it actually needs. Because if it just keeps going straight up, well, then cool, you went high. But you know what else goes high? Fireworks. And then they come right back down. That's the difference. And this is where the why didn't it just go straight up first, then turn later thing falls apart too. Because people picture it like a damn video game. Straight up, then some sharp 90 degree right turn, then now we're in space. But no, that's not how any of this works. You don't wait until the last second and then suddenly decide, let's build 17,000 miles an hour sideways. That's insane. You start building that horizontal speed as part of the ascent, little by little, on purpose. Because if you wait too long, you waste fuel. You fight gravity longer than you need to. And now you're solving the wrong problem way too late. So that curve everybody keeps calling suspicious, that's not the weird part. That's the part where the rocket stops acting like a thing that was launched and starts acting like a thing that's trying not to fall back home. And once that clicks, the next thing people will always say is, well, okay, then what about the satellites? What about the space station? They're just sitting there. Except they're not. Not even close. And right about here, this is usually where somebody goes, okay, fine. Maybe the rocket turns. Maybe orbit is sideways. But then explain the satellites to me. And that's a fair question, because to a lot of people, satellites look like they're just up there, like they're not really moving at all. And if that's the picture in your head, I get why it feels off, because satellite gets treated like it means one thing, but it doesn't. That's the first problem. Some satellites are in low Earth orbit. That means they are not sitting still at all. They are moving fast enough to circle the planet. The International Space Station is the easiest example. That thing is moving at an insane 17,500 miles per hour. That's roughly Mach 23 for my aviation folks. It goes around Earth about every 90 minutes. That's not parked, not even close. NASA's public ISS tracking and sighting tools literally show it crossing the sky in minutes because it's moving that fast. And that alone should kill a lot of the they're just sitting there stuff. Because some of the things people point to most often are not sitting there at all. They just look calmer from the ground than they really are. But then there's the other category, the one that actually causes most of the confusion, because some satellites do appear fixed. For example, weather satellites, certain communication satellites, and the ones where people say, see, that one doesn't move. But wrong again, because it is moving. It just looks fixed from here. That's called geostationary orbit, which sounds fancy, but the important part is this. A geostationary satellite is not magically hanging there because it matches Earth's rotation. That's not what keeps it up. It stays up the same way anything in orbit stays up, which is, it's still falling, but it's moving sideways fast enough to keep missing the ground. Same basic rule as everything else. The difference is, it's way, way farther out. So let's put that in perspective. Low Earth orbit is usually only a few hundred miles up. The ISS is only about 250 miles above the surface. For comparison, a geostationary satellite sits at roughly an insane 22,236 miles above Earth. At that altitude, if you give it the right speed, it takes 24 hours to go around the planet one time. And that matters because Earth also rotates once every 24 hours. So now the satellite is still orbiting, still moving, it's still falling around the Earth. But from the ground, it appears to stay over the same spot. That's why it looks parked. Not because it stopped, but because its motion is matching the planet underneath it. And that's it. And if you're still racking your brain, here's one quick example that might make it easier to understand. If two trucks are rolling down the highway side by side at the same speed, for a minute, one can look almost still relative to the other. It doesn't mean either truck is parked. It means your frame of reference is doing the line. Well, it's the same thing here. And this isn't some hidden secret either. NOAA tells you this directly with the GOES, the GOES weather satellites. That stands for Geostationary Operational Environmental Satellite. In plain English, the big weather satellites that stay locked over the same part of Earth so they can keep watching it. They are in geostationary orbit specifically so they can keep watching the same region continuously instead of zipping past and disappearing like low orbit satellites do. NOAA's own mission pages describe GOES as orbiting at geostationary altitude, so it appears fixed over one part of the globe while Earth rotates below. So now the next fair question is, okay, but how did it get that speed in the first place? Because no, they do not just toss it straight up and hope it floats. A satellite launch works on the same basic principle we just talked about with the Artemis rocket curve. It launches upward first because, again, there's a planet in the way. Then it starts building sideways speed, and that's true for low Earth orbit satellites. That's true for the space station, and it's true for the satellites going much further out too. The difference is the far out ones usually don't get dropped directly into final orbit all at once. A lot of geostationary satellites get launched into what's called a transfer orbit first, which is basically they get thrown into a long stretched out loop around Earth. And then later, either the upper stage or the satellite itself fires another burn to push it the rest of the way into the final circular orbit way out there. That's how it gets there. Which means, once again, the thing people thought looked suspicious was the normal part. And the thing people thought looked still, well, it isn't. It just looks still because distance, scale, and relative motion are doing what they always do, making confident people say weird things on the internet. So now people usually say, okay, well, then what about the astronauts? If the ISS is moving that fast, why does it look calm in there? Why are they floating around in zero gravity? And that next misunderstanding right there, that's where this whole thing gets a lot more interesting. So now we've got to fix another picture most people got handed wrong. Because if you grew up thinking astronauts float because there's just no gravity up there, well, that's not crazy. That's basically how this gets taught, or at least implied. Zero gravity means you float. That's the version people walk away with. And look, it sounds fine right up until you actually stop and think about it for 5 seconds. Because the International Space Station is only about 250 miles up. Around 400 kilometers if you want the metric version. That's not way out in deep space. That's still pretty close, all things considered. And at that altitude, gravity is still about 90% as strong as it is down here on the surface. NASA's own educational material says exactly that. So, hold on. If gravity is still there, and not just a little but most of it, then why are they floating? Ah, good. That's the right question. They are not floating because gravity disappeared. They're floating because gravity is still there. Wait, what? Yeah, listen to that again, because that's the part that scrambles people the first time they hear it. The space station is falling. So are the astronauts and the water droplets and the pen somebody let go of. All of it. It's all falling together. That's why it looks weightless. Not because gravity stopped, but because the whole system is in continuous free fall. So here's the human version. Think of it like an elevator, but only as a clean thought experiment because real elevators are messy and movies lie for a living. And not just any elevator, it's a bad one, like a lawsuit elevator. If the cable snapped for a short horrifying instant, you, the elevator, and everything inside would all be falling together. And in that moment, relative to each other, you'd feel weightless. Not because gravity vanished, but because gravity is pulling on all of it at the same time. And that's basically the ISS. The ISS is not up there hovering. It is falling around Earth, and the astronauts inside are falling with it. So relative to the space station, they float. But that's it. That's the whole trick. And once that gets in your head, like really gets in there, a bunch of those space looks fake moments start losing a lot of their magic. So the floating hair, the drifting water bubbles, the slow push off the wall, and the calm little spins, that's not proof gravity quit. That's what it looks like when everything in the room is falling together. And now, hold on. This is why the rocket curve mattered so much. Because that churn everybody keeps obsessing over, that wasn't some weird detour. That was the rocket building the sideways speed needed to create this exact condition. No curve means no orbital speed. No orbital speed means no falling forever. No falling forever, then the astronauts, they're not floating around. That's why all of this connects. It's all the same system. And once that finally clicks, like really clicks, the next thing people usually say is, okay, but if all that's true, then why does so much of space still look fake? And now we're getting somewhere. Because that question, that's where the physics argument ends and the trust argument begins.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So now we need to deal with the part people keep saying this proves. Not just the rocket curved. That's not the full claim. The full claim is the rocket goes up, then it churns, then it gets farther away. Then eventually you can't see what the hell it's doing anymore. And somewhere out over the ocean, out where regular people can't watch it with their own eyeballs, it comes back down. And for a lot of people, that whole sequence doesn't read like a mission. It reads like a trick. They'll say it never went to space. It arced off on purpose. It splashed down out of sight. And eventually, the rest of the story gets stitched together later with footage, graphics, and institutional trust. That is the actual accusation. Now, layered on top of that is the biblical language, the firmament, the dome, the waters above. The idea that the sky isn't open space at all, but instead it's a boundary. And if that's already your model, then the curve feels like confirmation. Not because you saw a rocket hit something, but because by the time that rocket ever left the pad, the meaning was already decided. But hold on though, because this is where I start getting a little twitchy. If we're gonna say ancient texts uses sky language, and therefore modern rockets prove a literal dome, then are we doing that all the way? Or are we doing what people always do, which is grabbing one ancient line they like and pretending the rest of the ancient world was just decorative wallpaper? Because if we are suddenly taking ancient cosmology ultra literal, then okay, fine, I'm good with that. But then what do we do with sky gods and fiery chariots and beings descending from the heavens, divine messengers in the clouds, or luminous objects crossing the sky? Or what about Anunnaki ancient engineers? The Great Flood, entire civilizations saying something came down from above and changed human history. Do we take that literally too? Or just the dome part? Because you can't tell me Genesis is exact aerospace documentation, but then when Sumer, India, Egypt, Ezekiel, Mesoamerica, or half the ancient world starts talking about things coming down out of the sky, suddenly everybody gets very metaphorical, which is odd because it's not investigation. That's menu picking. And I'm not even saying those ancient accounts are automatically true. Not at all. Don't do that thing where people hear one sentence and sprint into the woods with it. What I am saying, if we're gonna use ancient texts as literal physical evidence, then at least have the decency to be consistent. So, back to the rocket. Because the "it splashes down in the ocean" claim usually mashes together different parts of the launch like they're all the same object, and they're not. What people often see from the ground is the rocket climbs, it pitches over, it gets smaller, stage separation happens later, usually too far away to clearly see with the naked eye unless you've got a good setup. And then, depending on the mission, the first stage may come back down or land while the upper stage keeps going. That's a huge distinction. And yet, it gets flattened into the comments into, see, it went up, then it came back down. Well, part of it did. That's how multi-stage rockets work. That's not proof the mission failed. That's literally how the machine is designed. The part you often see come back is not the whole mission returning because it hit the dome. It's the booster doing its job, separating and either splashing down or landing depending on the profile. Meanwhile, the part that actually keeps carrying the payload keeps going. If you don't separate those two pieces in your head, the entire launch will look fake to you forever, because most launch footage from the ground is far away, compressed, distorted by distance, hard to track, and happening at a scale your eyeballs were never designed to make sense of cleanly. So instead, we're not asking, did I misunderstand staging, orbital insertion, and line of sight? What people start asking is, what story best matches the suspicion I already had before ignition? And that's a very different process. And once that happens, the dome argument starts looking less like a slam dunk and more like several different misunderstandings, duct taped together and called a revelation. Which means now we need to do the part people usually skip. Not the theology fight, not the comment war, the actual credibility check. Because if the rocket didn't hit anything and the booster coming back is being confused with the mission coming back, then the real question isn't whether the footage feels weird. The real question is, what does this launch actually prove? What does it not prove? And what questions are still completely fair to ask without stapling a whole worldview onto one misunderstood clip? That's where we go next. So now we need to land this thing. Because by this point, the rocket curve either means everything to you or almost nothing. And both of those are usually wrong. Here's what the curve does prove. It proves rockets don't just go straight up. They go up, then curve, because orbit is not about getting high. It's about getting fast enough sideways that while gravity pulls you down, the Earth keeps curving away underneath you. That part is real. That is not NASA spin. That is how orbit works. It also means the straight-up only argument is mechanically busted. If your whole case is a real rocket would just keep going straight up if space was real, then no, that part does not hold. Same with the astronauts floating. That is not no gravity. That is free fall. Same with satellites that look parked. Some of them only look still because they're matching Earth's rotation from very high altitude. So yes, the curve matters, because it shows the rocket is doing what a rocket headed for orbit is supposed to do. And it shows how a booster coming back can get confused with the whole mission coming back if you don't know what you're looking at. That's very real. And this is exactly why those viral, it looks too slow to be going to space videos fool so many people. Because they're comparing the wrong part of the flight to the wrong number. That 17,000 miles per hour number people love throwing around, that's orbital speed. That's not what the rocket is doing the second it leaves the pad. It builds to that over several minutes. Same way your car doesn't leave your driveway already going highway speed, unless your life is going way worse than mine. Then they mash that together with bullet speeds, hypersonic jets, weather balloons, and whatever else they found in the junk drawer, and pretend that if it doesn't look fast enough from a parking lot, it must be fake. But that's not how any of this works. A rocket filmed from miles away, climbing partly away from you through haze, through lens compression, while the brightest thing on screen is the exhaust plume, is not going to look like a bullet. And if you don't understand stage separation, booster recovery, or the difference between a rocket, a jet, and a balloon, then yeah, of course it'll look suspicious. That doesn't mean you caught a lie. It usually just means you watched the wrong phase from the wrong angle with the wrong assumptions already loaded. Now here's where people lose their minds. Explaining one real part of how this works does not automatically clean the whole institution. That's where the official story crowd gets drunk on one correct answer and starts acting like every other question is now illegal. But that's useless. The curve being real does not prove that NASA is trustworthy in every area, or that Apollo and the moon landing is beyond scrutiny. It does not prove that every space narrative is clean or that every skeptic is wrong. That's all lazy. But the other side screws this up too. Distrusting NASA does not magically make the physics fake. If an institution lies in one area, that does not mean gravity stops working in another. That's the part people keep trying to skip. So, what can this launch actually tell us? Well, It can show a launch path consistent with orbital ascent, but it cannot be used as clean proof of a dome. And it cannot be used as clean proof that every institutional space claim is automatically true. That's the honest middle ground. And yeah, I know, the middle is deeply unpopular online because it doesn't come with merch. But that's where the truth usually lives. That's already enough. How something actually works is still how it works, even if the people showing it to you have lied before. So, after all this, the real question isn't whether the rocket curved. The real question is what you do after you see it. Do you slow down and separate what the footage actually shows from the story you were already carrying into it? Because if you can't do that, then the launch isn't the thing you're really arguing about anymore, is it? I keep thinking about that night in Florida, me and my son standing there watching the Artemis launch in person. He's 9 years old, and when that rocket lit off and started climbing, the whole place changed for a second. People stopped talking, stopped messing with their phones, stopped being whatever version of themselves they brought in from the parking lot. Everybody just looked up, because when that thing tore through the sky, loud enough to rattle your ribs, it did what real wonder is supposed to do. It shut off all the noise. And my son, man, he just stood there staring at it like nothing else on earth existed. He didn't blink, didn't move, he just locked in. Like the world had suddenly gotten bigger right in front of him. All the usual grown-up garbage, bills, lies, politics, algorithms, all the little humiliations of modern life just got shoved out of the world for a second. It was just a machine built by human hands leaving Earth. That's it. And honestly, that should have been enough. But of course, this is 2026, and apparently we're incapable of leaving anything alone. Because by the time that launch hit the internet, people were already carving it up into whatever they needed it to be. Wonder, deception, prophecy, theater. Same launch, same sky, same fire, but completely different realities. And that's the part that really gets under my skin. Not that people disagree, because that's normal. Human beings can watch the same event and somehow turn it into 6 different worldviews, a divorce, and a 3-hour podcast. It's that we've gotten to a place where people don't just argue over what something means anymore. They can't even agree on what they're looking at with their own 2 eyes. And yes, some of that was earned, absolutely. The people running things lied, like a lot. The government, media, corporations, experts, pick a lane. If you've been here more than 5 minutes, you know my stance on government and institutions. They did it enough times that people started treating every official explanation like a trap. I get that. I really do. Blind trust is stupid. But if trust collapses badly enough, eventually, even real things start looking fake. And once that happens, people stop separating the stuff that's actually suspicious from the stuff they just don't understand yet. It all gets thrown in the same pile. And after that, the truth usually loses to whichever story scratches the itch better. And that's where we are right now. So standing there with my son, that's what hit me hardest. Not the rocket itself or the curve. Not the endless fight over whether NASA deserves trust. It was realizing we were both watching something that should have felt simple in the best way. A machine built by people. A trail of fire cutting into the dark. A reminder that for all our stupidity, and my goodness, we have a lot of it, we can still do the impossible looking things sometimes. And even that moment wasn't safe from all this. That's heavy. Because if we can't even agree on what a visible launch path means, if we can't look at a thing in the sky and at least start from the same floor, then what happens when the next big thing is messier? What happens then? Because that's the real shadow hanging over all this. Not whether a rocket curves. The real shadow is what kind of species we've become if we can build something that leaves the planet and still can't agree whether we just witnessed engineering or a magic trick. Thanks for being here tonight. If you want more stories like this, you know where to find me, you know where the links are. And if you choose to support the channel, it really helps. I'll see you next time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.